the presentation has been uploaded with the stock exchanges. So management will go through the critical slides. Then we'll go for a Q&A session.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for coming in. It's a pleasure to see so many of you interested in this transaction or other details that we can probably talk about. Please note that for us, this is a silent period, and we will not be able to talk anything about quarterly results or anything around that. So the focus is purely on the transaction and details around. So, since the slides are already uploaded and you've all probably seen the slides, I'll only connect you back to a couple of slides just to bring the context. Karin will talk about the transaction and the financials. Then it's better to open it up for Q&A so that we have as much time as possible for a good discussion. So just to highlight what is the transaction we got into, maybe some more chairs for them.
Yeah.
So what is the transaction we got into? We got a board approval to make an acquisition of one of the group companies. This is Bosch Chassis Systems Private Limited. Yeah, it's the default market leader in safety and braking systems for the automotive world in India. Three state-of-the-art locations, one major manufacturing plant in Chakan, and about 2,000 people including all the contracts. So it's a very well-established, stable operation. Top-tier supplier, extremely high, low PPM quality levels because these are safety-critical products, so very critical that we have high levels of quality. The interesting thing about this is this whole lineup or the whole portfolio is agnostic to powertrain, whether it's EV, whether it's ICE. It's also, by the way, useful in any vehicle that moves, so it's two-wheeler, four-wheeler, completely agnostic to that. So it's an extremely good complementary portfolio. Has had a very good CAGR growth, high double-digit growth over the last few years, very high margins as well, and overall performance last year has been exceptionally good, and we expect this trend to continue as we go forward. So just one more slide. Is this the number? So just I want to give you a quick glimpse of the kind of products we are looking at. These are all, the first line is all about ABS and ESP. As you know, ABS was the first product that was introduced already many years ago, and that has now more or less been taken over by ESP systems. There's a very high 85%, near 85% fitment rate of ESP systems in cars today. Two-wheelers, of course, continue on ABS systems. There's a whole range of occupant safety systems, everything that ensures safety of the occupants in a car. We don't do airbags, but we do a lot of airbag controllers. Lots of sensors are required for this whole system to work. So there we have products which help sense things and give inputs to the ECUs to take corrective actions. For electric vehicles, there is a whole range of different kinds of ABS CSP systems. This is because in electric vehicle, there are two fundamentally different requirements. One is there's no vacuum, so you have to also create vacuum in a way to ensure braking happens optimally. There's also a need to have additional things like regeneration. So a lot of other things come in. So new braking systems come into the electric vehicles, which take care of that. Of course, we have a range of conventional actuation systems, which take care of all the old older generation vehicles and non-ABS and non-technology-heavy vehicle categories. So this is the overall range. We can come back to this during Q&A if required. I'll now leave it to Karen to just give you a little flavor of the transaction, and then we can open it up.
Yes, a warm welcome also from my side. Thank you very much for joining and for your interest. And perhaps first of all, regarding the valuation of the target, it was done by PwC. The report is also uploaded. We have done a fairness opinion with ICICI Securities and of course all other necessary reports which are applicable from the Indian law. Overall, of course, most important, we are key keepers of your investments. You know, we have a very strong balance sheet, and therefore one rationale, of course, was the business case. We had a careful look at the target, and here you can see a pro forma simulation, what would have happened in 25 if this would be consolidated. And then you see, of course, we would have a significant improvement, not only in the top line, but also in the bottom line. We looked into the business case, we looked into the past, we looked what is the product portfolio, what are the forward figures, we looked with due diligence regarding the order books, so full-fledged done. And an important, when we went into the discussions, of course, with the seller side, and knowing this is a related party transaction, we also, and you can see it from the valuation, we were very, very carefully and very conservative, and it is our overall Bosch philosophy. It is the intent that we create value for the future with bringing these two companies together. There was one special thing, and I suppose you have recognized it already. We have in the deal structure an all-cash deal with a very small preferential allotment. This I also would like to explain to you. We have a philosophy at Bosch that we have Robert Bosch Netherlands and Robert Bosch US, who are historically the shareholders for a long time. And what we seek in Bosch is that there should be skin in the game. And even if it's only with a very small preferential allotment in the Bosch Limited, and this is the reason why we have more or less majority all cash, but a very small preferential allotment, that there is still skin in the game also from the former shareholders. Another perspective which I would like to explain you was the current situation of Bosch Limited and of the target are that we have a very high utilization, let's say. So our lines are full, and therefore we were, of course, thinking how can we bring the two things in the deal structure together without disturbing the organization, and to make it in a very fast and clean way. And therefore we decided also in the end that we would like to have a fast closing instead of going through a long schemes between Maharashtra and Karnataka, and therefore all cash deal. We would, after the postal ballot and hopefully shareholders' approval, we would really try to make a fast close, and the target would be a 100% subsidiary under the Bosch Limited. what brings the future, we will see, but we said these are two strong standalone companies. We have then a good consolidation, and we would not disturb currently any business what we have and high workload what we have in the two organizations. So this is overall a little bit setting the context about our thoughts, about the deal, about the valuation, the deal structure, etc. And give back to Guru and to your questions.
Yeah, we can present the entire deck, but I think you've seen it. It's probably better to have an exchange of thoughts.
More time for questions.
But if you prefer that we go over, happy to know that as well.
Just curious, what led to the change in thought process to bring this in, and also how you thought about the selection of what entity amongst, you know, all the businesses that are available? What else is also there as part of the group, yeah, outside of consumer electronics, that is not
I think it's a good, I'm very sure at the end of the session we would have covered all slides based on your questions, that's also a good way to do it. So thank you for that question. I think it's a very important way to look at how mobility is evolving. And I've personally talked about this quite a bit in several forums, and it's good to come back to this picture every now and then, because this is typically how mobility is evolving world over. And we see more and more OEM requests, especially in the West, in Europe, in North America, in China, all leaning towards solutions based on the tech stack, as we can call it. What's within the Bosch Limited portfolio is what we call energy. Some call it powertrain, some call it propulsion. So there are different names for it, but that's just a naming. But everything under powertrain propulsion is already within the scope of Bosch Limited. The next big chunk in the context of volumes, in the context of value, is the vehicle motion portfolio. So the vehicle motion portfolio carries a very big chunk of solutions, which are nearly always domain agnostic, nearly always agnostic to powertrains, and they add on to the very important task of safety and braking. What's also critical, even in the Indian context today, is that safety sells, and every OEM wants to have as much safety feature as possible. So this is becoming more and more prominent, and even though there is no ESP legislation as such, they want to have almost everybody migrated to ESP in the Indian context. So in that sense, it's critical to look at this domain. So we thought it's a good way to see what's on the cards, and since RBIC, the target company, has everything connected to braking and safety here, and it's doing quite well, we thought that would be the next logical step to bring it in. Of course, it encompasses all the things we have to do as we go forward. There are more complex solution possibilities emerging in the Western markets, where they call it vehicle motion management systems, which combine the propulsion, braking, safety, steering and suspension kind of systems to give dynamics which are very, very exceptional. So those solutions also are multi-domain or cross-domain solutions, and this adds quite a lot of value there. So that's one reason why the rationale of choosing this as a big addition to a growth curve which is complementary and at the same time going continuously upwards. The company is also very good with margins right now. So on day one, it's margin accretive, which is a very positive thing. Very rarely happens in a transaction like this, and this trend continues for us for many years. So that was
sure. No, my question was more towards what changed in, you know, the Penn's thought process to integrate
Roots
entities? Yeah, because this could have been an argument you could have made 2 years ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago.
What changed? I think 10 years ago, most of this room would have killed us if we had done it, because this company was bleeding like crazy. Massive investments, no ABS market at all. We had put in lots of money into this, and there was a lot of investment happening, both CapEx, development, application with different OEMs, trying to get an introduction of ABS systems into the market. So this was not a very healthy, profitable company then. That's also the reason you see in the last 4 years, 5 years, the margin uptick has been extremely positive. So it's gone on really well. So that's regarding the timing. But what also changed is the fact that putting these two together now makes it a holistic mobility company, which we've always tried to do for the limited company, to see how to add on portfolio which is lasting, which is de-risking, which is portfolio addition over many years, and that's been a constant endeavor. The parent, by the way, has always supported when it makes logical sense, when things are okay, when they want a fair value for whatever has been invested, of course, but whenever it makes sense.
And so the three parts, the ADAS, body comfort, infotainment, which are still part of the group, at some point in the future, as they get to more steady state, the idea would be to bring them into the end.
See, these are very, very small at this point of time. Bosch is not big in infotainment. We do some things, it's not very big. Body and comfort as well is a very small portfolio for us right now. And similarly, ADAS in India is also quite small, but our own portfolio in India is quite small. We are big in other geographies. So as we go forward, we'll have to see how. You moderate, Whatever truly makes sense in the listed company, we will certainly continue to look at this. So we are not saying this is the end of it. We are saying this is a continuous process. So we will constantly evaluate and look at it. Since you brought up the other entity, which is the automotive electronics company, let's give a little background about it. It's an entity which is totally internal captive supplier of electronics to either the listed company or the target company. So it's a pure contract manufacturer to these two. So at this point of time, it was felt there's no real logic we can justify to the board or to any of you on why we should integrate that into the parent by spending a lot of, into the listco by spending a lot of money. Because it is a very, very low margin, very high capex intensity, and it is a pure supplier to these two. And the parent is happy to continue to invest and provide these services. So just,
And therefore, you would not have contribution to the top line because it's you would consolidate it anyway.
Yes, business units
and,
are already here.
And the bottom line is transfer price cost plus. So therefore, we have to ask ourselves, what is a good target for the Bosch Limited, and therefore also from the competence and from the capability and what where we have let's say whether this fits together. If I look at the manufacturing part, then it's very obvious that these two are very, very close, and for us it's an extension out of our core, and therefore we said.
I said that listed entities, would the focus be only on the product side, the manufacturing piece, or even the solution
See, we had one mobility solutions business which we actually took out of the DISCO a couple of years ago because of the very heavy investments required. The market is largely outside of India, very little market in India, and it was very heavily negative. It continues to be quite negative even today. Let's hope that the parent continues to fund that and it is a profitable business and we can look at it in future. But in general, we are not ruling anything out. We will continuously look at it. Also, products here require huge amounts of software. And we have a completely captive, the largest captive engineering center of any auto company in India. Close to 20,000, 22,000 people work in that company. And it provides a huge amount of services to the rest of the Bosch world, all the customers worldwide, a little bit also to India. And all the products that go to Indian OEMs are also, the software comes from this company. Most of it is embedded software, so nobody gets to see it. It's all already into the product as a line item. So we have no issues to leave it like that. But if it makes sense to think of it in a different configuration.
Just last question on the other side. Is export also a big driver for the entity which is getting merged? Or is it largely going to be a domestic thing?
Right now, they are struggling virtually to meet the demands of the Indian market. So, export is a topic. They do some 7-8% exports. But in the Bosch structure, maybe good to explain it already beforehand. Our production network is set up mostly as local for local. So everywhere, even China for us is a completely local setup. China does not export to any other region. All regions have 7-8% export just to cater to emergencies or some line down somewhere or whatever. So there is a balance and they take care of that. But apart from that, they are all set up for the local markets. And with the continuing trend in India of growth in volumes, growth in features, growth in new products, we see that we will continue to be heavily local. But of course, this does not rule out any exports. We already have examples of where we've started this year or last year exports to other geographies. We will always look at what is making sense. The landed cost has to be attractive for the OEM and we have to always benchmark against that.
Sonal,
yeah.
Sonal, thanks. So just continuing that question, would you give us more sense of the revenue breakup for this entity? How much is to be the assumption just as in your
Yeah, so we would like to give only a broad figure, roughly 1/3 is a two-wheeler. And the rest is then the passenger cars and
commercial
vehicles. Roughly.
And just the margin expansion that we've seen over the last few years is pretty sharp. So is it, like you mentioned, this operating leverage or is there some utilization? What is driving it?
It's actually several aspects which were all played together. It's localization, it is of course increase in volumes in the Indian market, and it's the implementation of legislation. And if we look into the future, then for example the legislation of the ABS for the two-wheelers below the 150 is then a further opportunity. But if you look in the last, let's say, 5 years of the company, then it is a good combination that the management of this company did the right decisions and played all the cards.
So maybe just to give you a little further explanation of that, we were very active in conventional braking, and that was what the company was doing for a long time. And then came the ABS legislation on top. So there was massive investments on ABS, which resulted in the company being negative for a sustained period of time. And ABS was the first step jump. So we had a lot of things coming into the market on ABS. The market moved on to ESP, so we had additional investments coming in towards ESP to make the transition to ESP. Then came the step change towards all the occupant safety systems, where the airbag mandates and other things helped the growth of the segment. Sensors are common, so anything grows, sensors also grow. New braking systems have been a recent development. So since the EVs have started to now come in, new braking systems came in, that brought in a new structure. So continuously technology is getting upgraded. And like Karen said, volume and operating leverage has helped. All this is a topic of legislation. So every time there is a legislative support, either for braking or for safety, it has helped the growth of the company. So we would say it's multiple things that have helped.
Just one follow on that. Is that like we know on the EVS side, wheelers you can be dominant more than 70% or something like that. So on the passenger vehicle side, we use a sense of what sort of.
We are also a market leader there, but I would refrain from giving any
majority.
Content per vehicle change in coming years? Have you reached the peak or any better in a period of time across the 5 subsegments?
In this portfolio, I would say the content per vehicle is what is typically shown here. What can change is significant new introductions and new braking systems. There's always an upgrade of each of these. So we are now at ESP 10, which is the 10th generation of ESPs. Just to also let you know, ABS was a Bosch invention long back, and we are in the 10th generation of ESP today, and so that is a continuous increase in content and features. Mind you, a lot of changes that have happened on ESP are software features that have come, so a lot of things are on our software additions. So that is a continuous track that goes on. The new braking systems is a whole new change that comes in. Possibilities to bring other portfolio adjacencies, vehicle motion management systems, these are all additional content.
Is there any service revenue or spares revenue in this company?
Aftermarket is. Yeah. Not very big, but it is there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And the last. Yeah.
And if you see the two entities separately, right? So it's a well oiled machine, high margin, high OC. You have your business very different. So just to, if you can point out how this is operated very differently today. I mean, at the Bosch level, the first of the same. And the two entities operating differently. And OC integration, what are the two key things will be on your agenda?
So you mean after the, if we would close the deal, then of course, so first of all, you have in the post-merger integration, it is much easier than if you would do a merger. Nevertheless, we would of course also, and I have to say we are quite good harmonized already because we have the Bosch structure, let's say. So. Processes, etc. Nevertheless, we would look at the processes, we would look at the, can we put things together, can we have some synergies. So the typical post-merger integration things would kick in, and then going forward, we could also think about, would it make sense in the future to look again, to relook in the structure, etc. So this would be a typical post-merger integration part of about 6 to 12 months, where you carefully, because we don't want to disturb, as I said, currently the organizations, where you carefully look what can be harmonized, where can we put things together, are there synergies, and then out of this catalog we could think about, is the structure the right thing, should we do another structure. So this would then be after the closing of the deal going forward.
Classify this entire
system,
the vehicle motion management system, or
yeah, it's the business division is now called internally Vehicle Motion Management.
Yeah.
So we actually have one very large plant in Chakan. We have in Manesar an assembly unit specifically for aluminium. We have in Sanand the warehousing and an assembly unit. So these two are not really manufacturing, just assembly and warehousing. The current capacity, I think we are on the verge of maxing it out in the current location, and we will have to.
So it will be more like a greenfield, or if the brownfield can happen to me?
It's in the Bosch world, it's mostly brownfield because we have
other plants,
and this is another synergy effect that will come in. Bosch Limited has a lot of plants close to customers across India, and we have hangar space, we have also have space to build hangars. So we will look at that part of overall space planning that time.
Secondly, on the Bosch chassis business, are there any product gaps which is there at the parent level? I mean, products which is there at the parent level but not in India, which perhaps could be introduced over the next 3 to 4 years?
Yeah, there are products. I mean, there are some products which are pretty new. Like I said, vehicle motion management systems. It's currently not used only by a very few select OEMs worldwide. Not so common in India or many places of the world, and those are systems which will make a lot of sense as we go forward. There will also be evolution of this. For example, single channel ABS for two-wheelers would be a great addition, cost optimized one below 150cc. So there will be a lot of things. Like I said, ABS and ESP are now in their 10th generation, so we've done from a product which used to look like this to a very, very small and compact one. A lot of changes have happened. So a lot of new generational changes have happened worldwide as well. So we can bring that.
Are you supplier any of the Chinese manufacturers in China, like BYD and all, can buy these from Bosch?
There were actually two aspects. One, I said already, it is we would like to have a fast closure. But what is also important is that if you look at the Bosch Limited, the Bosch Group is holding 70.2% or 70.5% already. And if you would have gone with a share deal, we would have come to the 75%. And what we don't want to somehow do is or send a signal, yeah, that we do a deal, offload afterwards, and then the Bosch Group very clearly said we don't want to dilute the minority shareholders, the 30%. We don't want to make a deal and offload afterwards, giving the complete wrong signal, because we are doing this because we believe that the two things are fitting very well together and we create value for all our shareholders. So this is the first part of the question. And the second part was
ABS.
Yeah.
So with
our market share, and
so on two-wheeler ABS, we have a very high market share. We are the market leader,
yeah.
And we will continue to be like that for many.
And if it's not mandated, then what
would be it? What do you mean if it's not mandated?
Below the 150.
Below 150.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So important to know. we have only plugged in the business case what is in legislation today already. So we did not plug in things for the future which are still a little bit crystal ball. So this was not part of the business case. If it comes, we have a further opportunity and chance.
So while it's not part of the valuation, that clearly is an opportunity. And we have solutions already for that. And even though it's not a legislation, a lot of OEMs are already fitting it because it sells. So they also already do it. But we hope in some time to come, that could also become a standard feature across all two-wheelers. Then the market really explodes.
Thank you. We'll go that side.
So the margin profile of Bosch taxi versus Bosch India,
it is largely the product. The product, the philosophy of how these products are manufactured, how the variants are controlled, how tightly the manufacturing capex is optimized, how modular the design is. So these are, just to give you a picture, these are safety critical products. Braking is an absolute safety critical product, and if braking fails or ESP, ABS fails, it is an extremely life-threatening situation, as you can imagine. So the level of importance everybody places, right from the approval regulatory agencies to the OEMs and finally internally for us, is all about very high standards of safety and criticality. That also brings an element of liability. So if something goes wrong, there is an element of liability as well, which is why we need to have very high standards of product, but also standards of the application in how it is applied on a car or a two-wheeler in terms of managing the safety. So they generally command higher limits.
Yeah. So in Bosch changes,
so
system, we have seen that there is a substantial improvement in the gross margins in the last 3 years from 34 to 44. What is the exact reason for this 600 basis points swing in the gross margin? Because the margin improvement is not because of operating leverage, it's because of gross margin. What has changed?
As we already said, it is a mix of certain things. It is, of course, growth helps if you can scale. Then the implementation of certain legislation. And we were had a very, very fast localization of these products, which we needed for the new legislation. If we look at the KPIs in the production, very good overall efficiency, very good PPM figures, quality stable. And what we also see is a very, very intelligent method of investment. Modular setup of the platforms itself already, which helps later on if you go from one generation to the other in the production. And the second thing is, and this is overall what we have as an advantage in the Bosch Group, is due to the fact that we have international production networks, if we are in need, let's say, of a new line or of extension of our capacities, we first look into the international production network if we have an idle line somewhere. And this has two big aspects. Of course, second-hand machineries all the time, let's say a little bit less expensive, and this is good for our cost base. And the second thing is, these lines were running already under full load and capacity in other Bosch plants. We know all the technical KPIs, we know all the maintenance schedules, and what we usually do is the team who run, for example, a line in the US would come to India and ramp up the line. And this gives us the flexibility to have a very, very fast and very safe ramp up. And all these aspects together is what you see in the end, in the top and also in the bottom line.
And just last, what is localization currently?
It depends on the product. It's like in Bosch Limited. We have products where we have a localization over 90%, of the child and component parts, because it's not all the time only the finished goods. You have to look also at the whole supply chain. Newer products, you start with assembly testing, you stabilize, and then you bring in the other child parts, because you have to make sure that you do not have too many variables in the whole chain, otherwise your whole manufacturing system starts to swing.
So,
can you give a breakup
of
product-wise
revenue and the capex which you will
put,
will be in which segment?
So, we said already about one-third two-wheeler. What we do not disclose is segmental figures. But to give you an idea of the intelligent investment logic, it depends, of course, year over year if you have to add a line, but let's say between 1.5 and 3.5% investment of the total net sales is what you also see in the business case. So very, very intelligent way of investment.
Just on the, I mean, we have regulations coming in on the data side, on the commercial vehicle side. So are we, I mean, like, maybe not on the heavy, but on the light commercial vehicles, we have solutions for that?
Yes. Seen as a general trend, and now I'm being very general, is that when we move on towards electric vehicles in general, content per vehicle and the value per vehicle goes up. I won't put a number exactly now, because for example, an e-axle is typically €1,000 per car. So it has orders bigger. So content per vehicle for us, based on worldwide averages on how many things are done. We are also, by the way, the world's top tier one for EVs. Content per vehicle just goes up.
And in the
two-wheeler space? Is a bit to watch on. I mean, if you take the battery part out, the content per vehicle also goes up. For it.
Question on the future possibility. We also had announced this JV with Tata Autocom. The product, but one more thing is, it could have naturally flowed to us 100%, but we thought of doing a JV structure. So, what are the thought process, and are we looking at similar structures for products within Bosch or outside in the future?
Okay, so we are not ruling out any structure. A lot of you and a lot of people have also asked us, why doesn't Bosch do any partnerships? So that's the counterpoint on the other side. But specifically to answer you on this, the current volumes in the market for e-axles is very, very small. It does not even fit one line of a typical Bosch line. One Bosch e-axle line produces 150,000 e-axles. The volumes are not there. They will of course grow, but we need to make the investments work. We can't invest a lot and keep the lines idle and burn capex and have low utilization, which is affecting everything. Finally affecting the product cost and what we can offer. We'll bleed, everybody is bleeding. We will go bleeding in that direction. So at this point of time, it was felt that we partner with a very reputed company like TACO, which is also doing already e-axles for one OEM specifically. We have new acquisitions on our plate, which we will bring into the JV. and then we will try and grow this to be a very big EXL tier 1 in EXL JV. That's the thought process. It's just the reality of the market today and how we need to operate to make the whole thing work.
Yeah, but say with Europe FTA coming in, the kind of cost structures you have in Europe versus in India, what would any of other agencies using more and more India as a base?
So yes and no. See, a typical e-axle, for example, is 250 to 300 kgs. It's not an easy export-oriented product. You can export subsystems. 300 kg, just the logistics cost will kill the landed cost in Hungary, for example, or in Czechoslovakia, where there is an assembly happening. So we have to work out the overall modality of how this is going to work. I personally think there will be, with the FTA, a lot more component export possibilities, because that works much more effectively, rather than a finished e-axle going. Unless the volumes are very small. If the volumes are small, like 10,000, 20,000, we can somehow make it work, absorb some margins on both sides. But if it's millions of exports, then logistically it's a killer. So we have to balance it. Hopefully this also improves as we go forward. Maybe a CKD kind of a thing goes somewhere to Europe and gets us somewhere. So we are looking at all possibilities. We have many things up our sleeve in terms of managing costs. Also, technology-wise, we have quite a lot in terms of what makes sense for a segment like this, be it a single-channel ABS or other ABS systems, simpler ones, everything. So there are multiple things that are in our basket which we can offer to the customers. In terms of specifically catering to this potentially very large market, we believe this is not going to be a one tier one opportunity because the volumes explode, like easily 15 million two-wheelers come under this umbrella, and it is potentially a good thing to have maybe 3-4 players playing this game. So, and also with this kind of a production volume and localization, therefore, will also make it very good for us to be the default export hub for rest of the world. So there are plenty of things that are likely to happen. The cost will certainly be coming down. Margins will be further under pressure, specifically for this category. But we have quite a few things already well covered to handle this.
How much capacity for this
for the unlegislated part?
Yeah.
Specifically. No, I mean, we plan capacity based on either a upcoming legislation or based on an OEM demand. So we will not simply add lines and just wait and depreciate and lose money. So we are not in that.
So we'll
have,
you will
take a decision
after it's announced by the...
We will do it when we have more certainty on which way this is going. The good thing with us is line building and introduction of capacity has never been a constraint in any market for us. We have it all around the world. We have massive line building capacity in India as well. We have a whole group which does it within Boston Limited. And we also work with various suppliers around the world. So making a line for additional capacity is not a constraint.
use the transfer pricing terms of trade with Rexall that Bosch just did help on the electronic subsidiary or at the Bosch SE system, or potentially transfer pricing that 100% sub right now would have been say lower than 100% subsidiaries. Unless there are similar or different, and in the merger with these transfer pricing agreements will follow it to Bosch Limited or they will be up to any position.
Okay. I would like to slice it a little bit. Up to now, Bosch Limited and Bosch Chassis Systems, there are nearly no RPTs.
Well, I'm talking about electronics RPTs.
Yes. So this is normal according to the transfer price regulations and the tax regulations. If you have a delivery from the automotive electronics, it's a cost plus. And this is applicable for the whole Bosch group in India, and we do it in accordance to the transfer price regulations. So there is actually, as normal.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. They are subject to normal audits,
yeah,
and the transfer price regulations.
Absolutely. The very similar, and of course depending on the different products, but very similar.
So on passenger vehicle side, what are the key regulations that you require of tax posture
for
passenger vehicle?
See, the ESP regulation, there is no ESP regulation, but thanks to the crash norms, ESP is very high fitment. More ABS is regulated, so there needs to be a fitment of ABS, but everybody has already moved to the more advanced ESP system. So that's certainly helping. More safety has now become more a selling feature rather than a legislative feature. While legislation still helps, crash norms help. The fact that safety is something that OEMs are capitalizing to sell their vehicles already helps us go with the volume. So we see very high fitment rates with or without legislation in this.
And are they supplying to all the OEMs?
Yeah. Every.
And for ADAS, we are just supplying for LCVs. I don't know, we are not supplying ADAS to MHCVs.
We are supplying ADAS to also passenger cars. Is just a very, very small fitment right now. There is no mandate or law requiring any OEM to fit it below 125cc. Very few do it for export or for special selling purposes, but otherwise,
which is the most competitive company in this business across the world?
You're talking to them.
your unit versus, let's say, your Chinese unit versus European unit, what would be the cost differential? Because in Bosch Limited, the products are very different, more of machining and other stuff here. What makes it very competitive in the current, this unit?
The Bosch manufacturing units worldwide are benchmarked for cost and competitiveness. There are several product categories where the Indian manufacturing plants are number one globally. That's true also for other plants worldwide. China is also number one in many areas. So this is it's a moving average. It keeps going up and down. It's constantly benchmarked every quarter, and we know where things stand, what areas need to improve. So this happens on a very regular basis. What sets Chinese plants apart is a very high localized raw material supply chain. And that is not yet there in India, and we are working constantly with that.
Premiumization, when it happens to the passenger vehicles as we move forward, what kind of difference will it make to revenues of this company from the previous sector? And as you move up,
there are lots of features that come on this. For example, you can do you can use ESP to do just the basic ABS feature functions. So prevent the leg brakes from knocking. That's the most basic thing we can do. Like you can take your phone and just do a call. So that's the technical function of a phone. But you can do so many, you can back. So similarly with ESP, you can do a hill hold, which is a software feature. You can do a parking brake assist. So there are plenty of features that come on top, and all of that are software features which are getting included. So those are additions, in addition to the constantly increasing volumes. We will hold margins very steady over the next 5 years or so. Every major project that's on offer from OEMs till their launch in 2031, we have acquired those projects. So our order book is very, very full. We have maybe not lost any order so far. So that gives us confidence to make this kind of a statement that we are on a very good path. Margins will be under some pressure because everybody wants to do it differently. But we know how to manage this with the scale, with the localization, with the other elements coming in, capex depreciation. So overall, I think we are quite comfortable. On what are other drivers of growth? You talked about two-wheeler ABS below 50cc. That's definitely a big opportunity for all of us. EV is a great opportunity. As EVs grow, new braking systems grow, and that's a new level, new dimension of growth for us. We also see that vehicle motion management systems as a more comprehensive multi-domain systems are certainly a great opportunity. So this is in a way a sort of agnostic to powertrain changes, agnostic to vehicle categories. Every time anything grows, this is growing along. As long as we retain our position. Now repeatedly, we are the market leader in this, and market leaders don't operate the way you described. We have a lot of things already localized in terms of our abilities to design and our abilities to do application. So our software sector is a global hub for many of these developers. They do a lot of ESP developments here. A lot of testing locally also happens. I wish we can invite you once the transaction is done to show you all the phases of what we do in categories like this. Huge amount of development testing, right down to things like EMI, EMC testing. Everything gets done locally, and the application, of course, is vehicle dependent, OEM dependent, and that we work very closely with OEM. So, in terms of design, development, and application capacity, we are maybe the topmost. So, well taken.
Yeah, thanks for all.
Thank you.
I was running out of
one more
thing.
Please go on.